Welcome to episode 164 of Redboard Rewind. My name is Spencer Lugenbuehl, and today my special guest is In the Money Media's very own Parks handicapper, Andrew Radinsky. Me and Andrew go over the wonderful racing from this past Saturday at Parks Racing. The three races we go over are races 1, 10, and 12, and some angles that we talk about are why Taba has been one of the hardest horses for Spencer to handicap, and when you like a horse with an outside post, sometimes all it takes is a Hall of Fame jockey. This is Red Board Rewind. It's the same old story in this cycle. We go back and forth, we go back and forth. It ain't good for me what we do this for. We go back and forth, won't do this no more. And now I'd like to welcome in my special guest for this week's Redboard Rewind, In the Money Parks Specialist, very own, Andrew Radinsky. Andrew, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm happy to be here. I think we're going to be able to talk about some nice-looking horses and recap a great day racing at Parks Racing over the weekend.
One of your favorite days, I know. One of mine as well, for everything bad, you know, how the Twitter gets about Parks and how, you know, whether it's the takeout, et cetera, or sometimes they'll say just the bad racing. You know, this is one day that Parks, I think, does really, really well with. A lot of good horses come in, a lot of good trainers come in, mostly because the purses are there. And it's obviously, like you had said, a very good day. Something very cool happened for you. I know you don't have a lot of information, but if you want to tell people about that, you are now a horse owner.
Yeah, I guess you can consider it a horse owner. There was a competition or contest that Pewter Stable, and I think it might have been one of the charities or whatever for Pennsylvania horse racing, did a contest where, you know, you get to sign up for free and, you know, they do a little drawing and you'd get to have like 1% of a horse with Pewter Stable and Kate DeMassey. And I just, you know, for the hell of it, I signed up a couple days out and I happened to get lucky enough to win. NBA, you know, all-star player Jameer Nelson was the one that presented the award, which is pretty cool. Got to meet him. But yeah, that's all the information I really have. So I guess you could consider me a part owner of a horse now, which is weird to say. But it's, you know, it's just all in good fun.
1%, I believe, was what it was. Is there a name for the horse yet?
No, I have no idea what the horse is or who the horse is. If it's in training or if it's going to be one that they buy at a sale upcoming, it's only been a couple of days. So I'm hoping to hear some more information soon.
Super cool though, when you get to, you know, move into a different facet of the horse racing industry. Let's kind of talk a little bit about Parks before we get into the actual racing from that day. You've obviously been covering it for In the Money. It must be weird when you're used to covering it Monday, Tuesday, and now all of a sudden you have, you know, Cox, Pletcher, all these big names coming in for a Saturday card. Whereas, you know, for you, you're probably better known for knowing the mid-level trainer or mid-level jockey and what they're good and bad at.
Yeah, it was, it's always unique to have like these shippers come in, on these big days. Cause you never know if like their horses are going to take to the track or if the jockeys that are shipping in can know how to ride the track at the bias it's at or whatever. It was playing like that week. The track was playing a little bit fast that week, so it was definitely went to be forwardly placed and get out the gate early. And, you know, some of the jockeys did that, some didn't. Not just jocks that are coming in out of town, but jocks also that have been riding there day in, day out. So, you know, it's always a head scratcher when things don't go to plan, but when you have shippers, sometimes that happens.
For me overall, Parks was a big upcoming for me when I first started handicapping because I was usually, you know, getting off of work or getting off of school on a Monday or Tuesday. Parks is one of the only few tracks running. So I kind of really gashed my teeth into Parks when I was first starting off as a handicapper, not really knowing what to expect. So for me, Parks always has that special spot in my heart For you, what were you looking forward to going into this car? Was there anything specific that you had a horse that you'd like? I know we're going to talk about one race upcoming that you really liked the horse. Was there anything else in the undercard or, you know, the Cotillion or other races that we're not going to talk about that you would kind of liked going into Saturday?
Yeah, there's 4 2-year-old races, two which were stakes, one for the boys, one for the girls, and then two $100,000 maiden special weights for one for the boys, one for the girls. At all four of those races, there was horses in each race that I really want to, you know, see perform well, or just see how they would perform. And all four races came up pretty good and pretty strong, and everybody got, you know, good trips out of it. And I think there's some talent in those races, one which we'll talk about in one of the races that we get to. But yeah, other than that, the stakes races, I really liked a horse we're also going to talk to, the one you were foreshadowing. And then I really did like Green Up in the Cotillion. She didn't fire as good as I thought she would. But I think she's a nice horse, just needs a little bit more maturity. But that was a race that I really liked to, I was looking forward to seeing, simply because of Green Up and horses like Secret Oath as well, both which did not win, but both that ran really well races.
Let's jump into the first race of this podcast. We're starting off with race number one. Was a maiden special weight 100,000, 7 furlongs on the dirt, so a tough distance for these 2-year-olds. What did you like in this one?
I didn't just like the horse I'm about to say. I actually loved the horse that we're about to say, and it was the number 9 Tuskegee Airmen for John Service. This horse was bred very well. I know there was some backside hype around this horse, with the horse being so training so well in the mornings at Parks that they actually were going to send this horse to Saratoga during the end of the meet. But weather got in the way. So they scratched that idea, gave it an extra couple weeks to train. And then that produced a bullet workout out of the gate going 4 furlongs, I believe, at Parks, which is a very, very good sign to see that this horse was mature. It attracted Luis Saez. And from the rest of the field, I know there was a couple other horses that I knew were going to be good. But when you have a Cassius King horse, you had two in this race, which was also the number 12 Dininger, who was already a horse that has ran. But this one was for John Service. This one got Luis Saez. And I was hoping 5-1. The horse went all 5-2. But yeah, this horse I had a high expectations for. And I liked this horse, and I gave it out all week. So yeah, that was my top pick. I don't really have to talk about any other ones because that one was just such a nice horse on paper.
For me, Tuskegee Airmen, definitely one I was looking at. The favorite to the outside, Dininger, for me, had that second nice race going from 57 to a 77 for Robert Reed, who we know is one of the top trainers there. I don't like seeing slow fractions, especially with such a big jump up in the buyers, because all that shows to me is, okay, that's the top of this horse's cycle. We're going to see around a 77, maybe a little bit higher. But when these slow-paced races, they can't really run much faster. And if there is a hot pace up front, this one will usually back up. And just having so many horses in a race, it's a 2-year-old race. I get this horse has run twice already. It's pretty much bumper cars galore when you think of 2-year-old racing, because nobody's really broken out of the gate before. There's a bunch of firsters. I thought Tuskegee Airmen, having that beautiful, beautiful bullet out of the gate, like you said, 47-1. Also had a 47-2 out of the gate back in August, and his other gate work was almost in a minute flat. So this one definitely knows how to work well out of the gate. Usually I don't like seeing too many gate works. This was pretty okay in my book because of how fast they were. Seemed like they knew what they were getting on with this one. I had to use one other one in this race, and that was Check It Up also for John Service. If they had one in the race, why do they have two? And just looking through, I just needed to get 3-1 on both. So when I put in this wager, I never thought in a million years Tuskegee Airmen would go down below 3-1. I thought Dininger would take even more money. And lo and behold, Tuskegee Airmen goes off at 5-2, but it was at 2.9-1. So just under 3-1. But for me, Check It Up and Tuskegee Airmen, just trying to, you know, make sure I didn't miss out on another longer price horse. So that Check It Up being at 7-1 didn't show speed on the debut. But having that first race under its belt, also for John Service, he knows how to get maiden second time starters, 15%. ROI isn't the best, but I just didn't want to get beat by this type of horse as well. So for me, Check It Up and Tuskegee Airmen. For Andrew, Tuskegee Airmen all by his lonesome. Let's see who gets done in the opener at Parks right now.
And they're off. Speed from In Between Horses is Dittinger. Tuskegee Airmen at the rail is going to be All Eyes on You with Daydreaming Boy and the Blue Silks. Daydreaming Boy and Dittinger, they've got the front end with I Lucked Out, who's going to be three wide as they come out of the chute. In behind them is Loco Cugino, who's going to track in the fourth position, and the pink cap is Kidman Carey. All Eyes on You is now about to secure the fourth position under a tight hold there as Tis Speedy just had to check. Moving forward comes Tuskegee Airmen, who's going to be mid-pack with Batuta Doro. Further back in the field is Don't Blame Freddy. Towards the back end of the field, Skyhook with Check It Up and the trailer, Warriors Vendetta, here in the opener as they work up the backstretch and get set to move into the far turn. Four across the racetrack, Daydreaming Boy at the rail. Two wide, here comes the move from Dittinger, and Dittinger is ready to challenge this leader. Tuskegee Airmen is progressing at the rail, is taken third as they're well into the far turn. 22 and 4 was the opening quarter mile, 46 and 2 for a half mile time. They reach a quarter mile left to go. Daydreaming Boy, Dittinger in between horses, Tuskegee Airmen. Here comes the run from Batuta Doro, is ranging up on the outside. Tuskegee Airmen has taken the lead. It's Tuskegee Airmen who's now up by a full length. Dittinger continues to chase with Daydreaming Boy. Batuta Doro is chasing as well. It is Tuskegee Airmen and Luis Saez. They reach the 16th pole now, three widening lengths in front. Tuskegee Airmen wins the opener.
And Tuskegee Airmen gets it done. 77, the winning buyer. 780, the winning mutual. Always nice when one comes to plan. Dittinger does come back, runs a 65, declines off that slow-paced race running second. Check It Up runs an okay fifth, I guess. Dropped 5 points off the buyer, but no one was touching the other service runner. Nice picking this one, Andrew.
Yeah, the main factor that I like that I didn't mention earlier, but when you work from the gate at Parks, it's on the 7 furlong chute. It's towards the end of it, so they had to break into the turn down the backside. So they get experience with that little bit of a gap, which some horses don't at other training tracks or horses that don't work out of the gate at Parks. So I knew that this horse was going to be mature just off those works. And then following up with that, later on that day, I was actually talking to the exercise rider for this horse. And he says that this is the best horse John Service has as a 2-year-old in the barn at this moment. Or at least that's what they say. And I think the race showed that this horse has a lot of talent.
77, the winning buyer. So we're not talking, you know, maybe a Naira horse, but, you know, we're talking maybe Mid-Atlantic turf. Mid-Atlantic, you know, stake type of horse. When you hear all the back stretch work and all them talking about how good of a horse it is, you know, obviously you got to take it with a little bit of salt. How are you, like, with your people at Parks? You know, I'm not saying names, but just, like, you know, when you hear something like this, you know, I would imagine it's more often right than wrong.
Yeah, I don't get a million tips like some people on certain circuits and whatnot, because I'm not back there, but I know that this horse probably, if I'm thinking like John Service, this horse is probably going to go down to Florida for the championship meet with those owners. They're going to try to take a shot wherever they can with a promising 2-year-old. So I wouldn't be surprised if this one actually goes south in about a month or two. Don't know if it will run again up here. Maybe there's a 2-year-old open stake race at Parks towards the end of the year for a condition like this. So maybe that race, if the horse isn't training the way they want it to. But yeah, to hear that this horse is the best one they have so far in a barn like that is usually a good sign. So hopefully maybe they have more coming, but when it's a Cassius King horse and it's the best, quote unquote, it's usually a good sign.
Let's move on to the next race of this podcast. Race number 10 from Parks. It was the Grade 2 Gallant Bob. 6 furlongs on the dirt. This is one that had actually a lot of trouble, you know, in this type of race. You know, I thought a horse like Provocateur for Todd coming off the Jersey Shore had been racing in top level racing like the Woody Stevens. You know, the Gold Fever Hutchinson. You know, those are normal beginner races in March, April, and May for these types of horses. I thought that was a little bit interesting. I thought for a long shot, speaking, Alvin Jimenez, if there was one that was going to come from the Mid-Atlantic circuits, you know, Monmouth, etc., I thought this one slowly improving, 82, 84, 86, was showing just enough and had a second so far at Parks, but was through for 5 of the distance. Other than that, you know, running son of a gun, Luis Saez at 6-1 for John Toscano. When I look at this type of horse and I see the Jerkins and I see a 97 and a 91, this one's run two very, very difficult races back to back. Usually in sprinters, you'll see a bit of a bounce, but I definitely thought this one at 6-1 could hit the board. I didn't want to see it take too much action because if we start getting below 4-1, probably one that I'm going to have to take off my ticket, even for second and third.
Yeah, I had those two underneath, or actually there's a lot of those horses I had underneath. There's about eight horses I could say in this race that could win. Anything that you say is definitely was on my ticket. But the 14 was actually the horse that was my, I wouldn't say best bet of the day, but it was definitely in my top three for the whole card. I was giving this horse out all last week on any show that I was on. It was to the point where I was almost starting to talk myself off of the horse, with, like, you know, the more I had to look at the form, even though I love the horse, and it was starting to, you know, when you overthink things and you overanalyze things, it starts to, you know, trick your brain and talk you off of it. But I stuck to my guns and I never backed down from using the 14. I love this horse because there's a couple hiccups. The outside post is never good at a 6-furlong race, mm-hmm. let alone a 6-furlong race at Parks. The horse, the two bad races this horse had in its 8 starts came with no Lasix. This horse wasn't being taken off of Lasix because of the stakes rules. So there was a couple hurdles that I knew this horse had to get through. The main reason I stuck with this horse as my top pick was that Johnny Velasquez was on the horse. And if there's any jockey that's going to get you over some hurdles in a bad post, that's the one I want, based off of just his professionalism. The horse was 5-6 at Parks. I was hoping that this horse can go 6-7. So, you know, with the consistency in the Parks, you know, being a track that's horse for course most of the time, I had to use this one on top. I also had Nakatomi underneath. Thought that horse was really impressive. Joel Rosario and Wesley Ward going into that day in dirt sprints. Their last five, they were 4 wins and 1 second, which is always a good sign. But I also like a little bit of Provocateur. That horse was like Grinder type of horse that could definitely take to Parks well in my mind, because Grinders usually are the ones that run the best at Parks, either that or when a horse that has a ton of early speed. But if you're one that just wants to sit the trip and make a run, you're going to be, you know, looking all day for that. And Irad was on that horse and ridden that horse in 2 of the best races that this horse has ever had. So, yeah, I was a little bit between the 14, the 11, and 3 mainly, but 14 was my top pick.
14 posts, like you said, difficult, but does get someone like Johnny V to, you know, maybe even it out, even if still the 14 post is a little bit scary. I think getting 9-1 is the right type of horse here. 5-6, like you said, does have shortcomings. Didn't take money, which can be kind of scary. And, you know, you always talk about that paralysis by analysis, which I, for one, do not agree. I think the more you can only get better with the amount of analysis that you do, because maybe it doesn't help you out today, but it'll help you out 4 races from now. And that's why you do all that analysis. But I do, you know, kind of giggle and laugh how you say, you know, you give it out so much that almost you're like, if someone comes at you with like the one thing, the one negative you haven't been thinking about, like, you know, oh, maybe Johnny V in these types of races on this day is, you know, 0-8. It's like, well, am I looking at the wrong horse? And so I definitely get you on that feeling. Well, like I had said, for me, Provocateur, Scaramouche and Provocateur for me were just, you know, not that I look at them the same, but just Provocateur had those better races. And for me, being more inside, like you had said, in a 6-furlong race, one that I was going to use, and just Scaramouche was going to have to be one that I had to fade in this race. So for me, I ended up using Running Son of a Gun, and I also ended up using Speaking at a huge 45-1, trying to get the boxcars lined up for Andrew. It was Scaramouche. Let's see who gets it done here in the grade 2 right now.
And they're off. Step slow for Witty at the back of the field. Speed from Little Vic and a hard sense speaking, and these two hook up on the front end. Speaking with a head in front, Little Vic is going to track in second. A lot of hope in the red cap is out wider with Lightning Larry, who now splits rivals, has taken third. On the far outside is Scott Amouche, who's in fifth. Provocateur is in sixth. Is to the inside of Jelly Nougat. Tightly at the rail is Of a Revolution. Running, Son of a Gun is tipping towards the outside for a run with less than 4 furlongs to travel. Practical Coach is right there. Witty is towards the back end of the field with Nakatomi in the trailer. Dance Code 21-4, and the Gallant Bob in the opening quarter. It's speaking. Two wide, Little Vic. Three wide, here's Lightning Larry, and Lightning Larry is in gear. Four wide is going to be Scott Amouche. In behind them is Provocateur. Provocateur looking for a way through as they reach a quarter mile left to go. Speaking is still the leader. Lightning Larry is in the three path. Little Vic is in there. Scott Amouche is out wider. Provocateur is chasing. They've still got to catch Speaking, who's got the lead. Here's up on the outside. Scott Amouche is making up ground. Running Son of a Gun is rolling down at the rail to the inside, and Of a Revolution on the grandstand side. Scott Amouche has got the lead. Of a Revolution is lifting. Scott Amouche is almost there. Scott Amouche, Scott Amouche wins the Gallant Bomb.
And Scaramouche gets it done. 94 the winning buyer, 2020 the winning mutual. Always nice when Johnny V can give you one of those rides.
Yeah, that was a picture perfect ride. Luckily enough, I actually was closing to a pick three here. That was on a short skinny ticket, which was only $6. I went single before that. Got lucky with Being Mind Control with a great gate to wire ride on Riding with Biden by Paco Lopez. That this horse I thought would be, you know, in the perfect spot. And then that went into one of my best bets of the day, which was That's Right on the Turf, in the stake and race, I believe it was 9. And then, that was also single. That horse won. Great ride by Andy Hernandez, which led me into the Gallant Bob, which I spread. But I did have Scaramouche on my ticket. Like I said in my notes, if Scaramouche wasn't a 14 hole, it probably would have been a single. I probably would have went, you know, cold pick three for a little bit more. But I'll take a $600 win off a $6 ticket. And this was actually the one race where I thought I was spot on with my handicapping of the day, which was always a good sign. Perfect ride by Johnny V, like you said earlier. And yeah, I think that this horse actually impressed me more than I was expecting. I really think that buyer was well earned.
One horse for me, Of a Revolution, that we didn't talk about, Flavian Pratt, Safi. This one run on the Swale earlier on in the year, which kind of showed a little bit of promise, a little bit of class. Had that really, really nice bullet work going from a 49-2 to a 46-3. Listen, that's fast no matter what, even at Saratoga. So this one going off at 6-1, improved about 6 points. One that I think was just kind of left, you know, people scratching their heads maybe a little bit. Ran that 91 three races back in the optional claiming win. I just feel that this is one that, you know, if when you're looking back and you're trying to figure out exactas and stuff, if you don't have this one in the second hole, probably a little bit of a mistake in your betting. But let us move into our last race of this podcast, the race everyone wants to hear us talk about. It's the Grade 1 Pennsylvania Derby, 1 1/8 miles on the dirt. For me, I was looking at horses from the inside like Zandon. This is a horse that I've always been a fan of. Had this one picked for the Traverse. Didn't get the job done at 6-1, running third. Now goes from Flavian Pratt over to Joel Rosario, one I definitely want to use on my ticket. Not a fan of Cyberknife. Just feel like the last two races, the Haskell and the Travers. This one looks like just a bounce candidate based off those last two big numbers. Tawny Port for me, not going to let Brad Cox beat me. 90-99 in the Jim Dandy. This one just seems to be set up really nice. 3-4 at the distance with a win. I'm not using Taba. Mike Smith is still on this horse. If this horse is going to run another 100 buyer, probably wins the race. Has a lot of good workouts over at Del Mar and Santa Anita. Now ships in for this. Just not one that I really want to use. And one of my old favorites from Derby time, Wedded Barrio, is one I'm going to use underneath at 8-1 with Luis Saez.
Yeah, I was on Tawny Port as my top pick. I did have Cyberknife and Taba as horses underneath and horses that were definitely win contenders. I just thought the race went through those three. I'm not a Zandon fan, and I was telling everybody I didn't think Zandon would have a good effort here just based off his run style and the way the track was playing. And then I thought Tawny Port was the one that was going to sit on a big effort. I knew Taba was getting better with each race, and and was probably the best in the Haskell, but couldn't take Cyberknife off that effort. So between those three, I think Tawny Port was the right pick with the value. But if I had to only use three horses, it would be those three. And I think those three are the best in this field. And honestly, some of the best horses in the 3-year-old race right now.
And I will say this, because Zandon kind of does have the big two buyers as well as Cyberknife. I just kind of thought Cyberknife was a little bit dressed up. That's why I went with Zandon having the two buyers. Maybe he can improve again, or at least, you know, run that same type of 105 coming out of the Travers. We talk about value. I thought White Abario at 29-1 and Tawny Port at 15-1. Like, just if you're looking through and like, okay, yes, Taba maybe is the correct favorite. That's some big prices on some horses that on their best day, if Taba just doesn't like the surface, didn't ship well. I mean, we're letting these horses sneak off at these type of prices. I mean, just kind of blew my mind when you looked at the board overall as they were coming into the gate.
Yeah, White Abario was a horse that I've been on for, you know, almost every race out of the PA or out of the Kentucky Derby, and a horse that I was expecting to be in the PA Derby come or around the time of the Kentucky Derby. There was a couple horses that are like Tawny Port that I would assume would, in the long run, probably if they were still running, be running here at the PA Derby. So I was happy that I was right about that. And I thought this horse had a little bit of early speed from that post, and the way the track was playing definitely was a horse you had to use on some tickets at that, at those odds, just because of the overlay that there was.
I tend to agree with you there. Let's see who gets it done here in the good Grade 1 Pennsylvania Derby. Is it going to be me with a little bit of Zandon mixed in with Tawny Port and White Abario? Is it going to be Tawny Port for Andrew? Let's see who gets it done right now.
And they're off. Skippy Longstocking has early speed. We the People from In Between Horses. Taba has got the lead now. It's Taba to the inside, and White Abario is trying to cross over. Plenty of pace on as they pass the wire the first time. White Abario and Taba, they're 1-2 into the first turn. Simplification is up in the early mix as well as in third. We the People is tracking from fourth, followed by Tawny Port, who's in the two path now in the fifth position, followed by Skippy Longstocking. At the rail is Icy Storm. Cyberknife is 5 lengths off the lead. Zandon towards the back end of the field with Naval Aviator, and B-Doc is the trailer. They move to the backstretch, and White Abario has got the lead. It's White Abario who's up by 3/4 of a length. Simplification is stalking from second. Now We the People is moving forward from third. Taba has lost some ground in the fourth spot, is right there tucked in behind the leaders. Skippy Longstocking is in the clear, is in fifth, followed by Icy Storm and Tawny Port. Cyberknife is looking to split rivals with Naval Aviator in behind that. Zandon, the trailer, is B-Doc. 23-1 was the opening quarter mile. 47-1 for a half mile time. Less than a half mile to go. White Abario is still the leader. Simplification is right there in second. We the People is now called upon. Taba is at the rail in fourth. Skippy Longstocking continues to make up some ground, and now Cyberknife is within range. Is 3.5 off the lead. Zandon dropping back was Tawny Port. A quarter mile left to go, and Simplification takes it right to White Abario. Here comes Taba, who's looming up on the outside, and Taba has taken the lead. It's Taba and Simplification out in the center of the racetrack. Zandon from way out of it for a final furlong. Taba's got the front end, but here comes Zandon, who's rolling late. A 16th to go. It's Taba in the center of the racetrack, but Taba is drawing away, and Taba with Mike Smith, they win the Bet Parks Pennsylvania Derby.
And Taba gets the job done. 108 the winning buyer, 480 the winning mutual. Listen, if this one's going to beat me and pay 480, I'm never supposed to have this horse in this spot anyway. Zandon pretty much splits the difference. Runs a 103 at 3-1. Still, I think, a very solid price. End up with Cyberknife, Simplification, White Abario. I kind of feel like it's those 3 through 5 horses we always see that kind of run together in all the races they're in as well.
Yeah, I think this race actually put Taba into the top tier of 3-year-olds. I think it's now Epicenter and Taba, and then kind of like the Cyberknifes and all that stuff underneath in the 1B, you know, column for 3-year-olds. I think this actually helps out with the Breeders' Cup Classic now. I still don't think anybody can beat Flightline when it comes to that race. But Taba being a new shooter, into that kind of scene, even though he was already showing talent beforehand. I think Tay was getting better with each race. Today was big performance. I ended up helping me out, and you know, I hit the late double, paid 5-1 odds. So I think it was a good way to end the day, and Taba ran huge, and congrats to the connections.
Tawny Port, not one of our better picks. 99 buyer last time out, 83 buyer this time out. Any thoughts? I just the way this one lined up, I thought that we were going to see a better effort. Now we get down to 83. Does this one just kind of feel like a step below all these? Like maybe just like the Lexington is the type of like race this one should be in each time instead of jumping into these major grade three stakes out in the major racetracks?
Yeah, the Tawny Port was very underwhelming for me. To get beat by horses like B-Dawk in this race, definitely. I mean, B-Dawk ran a huge race, and if you watch the replay, B-Dawk actually is making up a ton of ground, which to me, I was surprised. And we've been on this show before where I've had B-Dawk. So it's always a good thing to see him do good, but to see Tawny Port run so poorly, same with Green up the race before, Ira just didn't have anything underneath him in those two races. Total opposite of what I thought would happen. So it was a little disappointing when it came to betting, but it is what it is. And they can go back to the drawing board and find some weaker races, weaker spots. And this horse definitely has some ability. So hopefully the best for them and the future that it holds for Tawny Port.
For a horse that's run 400 buyers with that 77 stuck right in the middle for Taba, I'm not going to say I have to see it one more time, but just the way this horse takes money at the window, I think for me it's going to be a fade each and every race, depending on where they show up for Breeders' Cup as well. I just don't want to have a horse like this with Mike Smith aboard. And listen, something against Mike, I think he's lost a step a little bit, and he beat me today. I ran second. I still think at the end of the day, when you look at it, Tava's an underlay, and I bet the overlay in Zandon. You're gonna miss those. As long as you're on the right side of enough of them, you should come out okay in this game.
Yeah, and Zandon definitely overperformed to my thought process on him, which I give him 100% credit and all the props, but I still think Zandon's a little bit of a step below, and a lot of those horses up front were just dead tired at the end. So, we'll see. I think Taba still has enough, has some more in the tank, and could be tougher going forward.
That is the end of this podcast. I do want to thank my special guest, Andrew Rosinski, for coming on and talking all things park racing, as we know he knows well. Andrew, where can people find you on social media to talk to you about all things horse racing?
I am on Twitter as PhillyBoy415, as always. And you can catch my spot plays with In the Money Media Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And any, you know, local show or podcast, if you want me, reach out to me on Twitter, and let's set something up and let's get some more exposure out there for everybody and more partnerships and whatnot, and see what we can do and keep building each other up, and you know, let's take over the game.
I want to thank my special guest, Andrew Rudinsky, for coming on and talking everything parks racing with me. This show has been a production of In the Money Media. In the Money Media's president is Peter Thomas Fornatel. Our chief creative officer is Jonathan Kinchin. And our In the Money Media business manager is Drew Cotney. I'm Spencer Lugenbuehl. We will see you next time.